At 7:40 a.m., the gym mirrors are already full. Phones tilt, bodies pose. A trainer corrects a teenager's stance with a word that sounds like praise and lands like a warning. Across town, a school sends home a modesty notice that measures skirts with a ruler. At lunch, an office manager launches a wellness challenge with points for weight lost, not sleep gained. By evening, a clinic waiting room fills with patients comparing numbers that promise control and deliver anxiety. This is the quiet economy of appearance. Rules written in dress codes, app feeds, family comments, health plans, and casual jokes. It rewards sameness. It finds difference. It sells a better future if you buy the right body. The question is not whether pressure exists. The question is who profits, who is policed, and what it costs to opt out. Tonight, we follow the paper trail, the policy trail, and the human trail behind body image pressure and diet culture. Chapter 1. The Hidden Rulebook. At 7:40 a.m., Midtown Gym, Tuesday. The mirrors are already full. Phones tilt. Bodies hold a breath for the shutter. A trainer taps a teenager's elbow and says, "Good form, keep it tight." The praise is light. The warning is clear. Do not soften. Do not take up more space. By 7:45 a.m., the teenager Restax plates and checks a screen. The app flashes streaks and a daily target. The number is lower than yesterday. A friend sends a flame emoji. The teen locks the phone and looks back at the mirror. The morning has already given a score. At 8:10 a.m., Jefferson High School, hallway near the main office. Staff move with clipboards. A printer hums. The front desk has a stack of notices with bold text at the top. Modesty notice. A vice principal signs three at once and hands them to a hall monitor. The rule is simple on paper. The skirt must meet the knee when the student stands straight. The shoulders must not show. Leggings must be covered by a loose top to mid-thigh. Enforcement is less simple. A ruler sits in a cup next to a stapler. At 8:13 a.m., a bell rings. Students fan out of class to lockers. A monitor stops a girl with a denim skirt. The ruler appears. It slides from the hem to the kneecap. The gap is 1 inch. The monitor points to the office. The girl walks without a word. She knows the script. A call home. A spare hoodie from the lost and found. A warning about respect and distraction. The paper will say it is a learning environment. The hallway will say it is a body environment. Across the city at 8:30 a.m., Arcadia Insurance, third floor. Posters on the wall show mountains and trails. A flyer promises lower premiums for healthy choices. The program name is in green. A features list sits below the photo. Track steps. Log meals. Complete a wellness screening. Earn points. Redeem gift cards. A smaller line explains the math. Members with a body mass index under a set number qualify for Tier 1 rewards. Members over the number qualify for Tier 2. Tier 2 pays less. The tiers reset each quarter. A coordinator opens a dashboard. Rows of names. Columns of steps, screenings, and points. One column is a target weight range. Next to it, an eligibility flag. The logic is clean in the code. The impact is not clean in the lives that must meet it. The discount on paper becomes a penalty for the people who miss. The program sells choice. The spreadsheet delivers a fine. At 9 a.m., downtown, Brightline Creative. An office manager wheels a cart into a glass meeting room. Bowls of fruit and bottles of water line the table. She sets a scale on the floor and a whiteboard near the door. A short meeting starts on time. She smiles and clicks a slide. Welcome to our spring wellness challenge. The rules are simple. Points for participation. Extra points for percentage of weight lost. Leaders posted each Friday. A gift card for the top three teams. A free day off for the overall champion. Someone asks about sleep or stress. She nods and says those are important. Then she returns to the slide with the numbers. Body weight is easy to track. Steps are easy to track. Sleep is harder to verify. The meeting ends at 9:18 a.m. A few workers linger. One picks up the scale. It is heavier than it looks. He places it by the window and wonders who will step on it first. At 11:40 a.m., the Midtown Gym teen eats lunch on a park bench near school. The phone lights up again. The feed loads in bright blocks. Within 10 swipes, the teen sees a split of images and cuts. What I eat in a day. 7 quick tips to burn lower belly fat. 3 foods to avoid after 8 p.m. A montage of jawlines. A before and after with soft lighting on the after. products slide by with free shipping and a code. A video marked as advice shows a scale and a hand placing a foot on it. The audio is calm. The caption is gentle. The claim is strong. Change your body in 2 weeks. By 11:46 a.m., the feed suggests more of the same. The teen had liked 2 gym clips last night. The system remembers. It fills the space with goals and warnings and confessions. It posts a challenge with a hashtag. It posts a coach with a plan. It posts a face that moves from soft to sharp in 10 seconds. The teen watches and eats fast. The sandwich tastes like rules. At 12:05 p.m., Jefferson High School, attendance office. The girl in the denim skirt sits in a chair outside the door. She wears a gray hoodie from the Lost and Found. It says Class of 2018 in cracking paint. A staff member types a note into the student record. Dress code, first offense this term. Parent notified. The staff member prints a pass and lowers her voice. I know this feels unfair. We have to keep it consistent. The student nods. The bell rings for lunch. The pass reads return to class. The hallway carries comments forward. They are quick and casual. Distraction. Not school appropriate. She knew better. The girl hears them and stares at the tile. The tile is the color of old paper. The ruler is back in the cup. At 12:30 p.m., Arcadia Insurance, team stand up. The wellness coordinator briefs her manager. Participation is up. Points are up. Premium savings look strong for quarter two. A message from legal pops into the meeting chat. Please ensure scripts avoid promises of medical outcomes. Please emphasize voluntary nature. The manager nods. The slide stays the same. The tier table stays the same. The flag stays the same. At 1:10 p.m., Brightline Creative Kitchen. A small crowd stands around the whiteboard. Names fill 2 columns. A junior designer writes a team name with a marker. Someone jokes about salad day. Someone else says summer is coming. A copywriter asks where the weigh-ins will happen. The office manager points to the scale by the window. She says results will be logged to keep it fair. A moment of quiet follows. The copywriter looks at the floor. The meeting ends. The board remains. At 2:25 p.m., Midtown Gym teen returns to class. The teacher plays a short video on health education. The lesson sets a goal. Move more. Eat less sugar. Respect your body. The teen watches the screen and feels a list of rules grow longer. A classmate passes a note that reads, "What app are you using?" The teen does not answer. The bell rings. At 3:40 p.m., Jefferson High School, bus loop. The girl in the hoodie waits for a ride. Her mother pulls up. The conversation in the car is tight. The school called about a skirt. The fee for a second offense is a 1-day suspension. The mother tells her to measure at home. The girl nods. She looks out the window at the school sign. Pride and excellence in large letters. The wind moves the flag on the pole. The hoodie is warm in the sun. At 5:05 p.m., Arcadia Insurance, data team pod. A developer reviews a change request. The wellness platform needs a new threshold for Tier 1 eligibility. The number moves by 0.5 point. The ticket references updated guidelines. The change is small in the code. The change moves thousands of members between columns. The developer tests the function and commits the patch. A script recalculates flags. The dashboard updates at 5:19 p.m. The poster on the wall still shows mountains. Evening, 6:30 p.m., Brightline Creative, open office. A few employees stay late. The whiteboard with team names catches the last light. A designer tries the scale alone. The number blinks and locks. She writes it down and erases it. She writes a lower number and stares at the line. She feels heat rise in her face. She erases the line again and decides to skip the challenge. Her teammate walks in and claps her on the shoulder. He asks if she is ready to win. She smiles and says she needs to check with her doctor. He nods and leaves. She sits. The room hums with the building vents. At 7 p.m., the teen opens the phone again at home. The content audit for the day is now a list on paper. 1 hour of viewing across 3 sessions. 40 clips. 26 related to diet or body. 11 with product links in the caption or comments. 4 with soft claims about health. 4 with hard claims about fat loss. The ratio is clear. Interest has become instruction. Instruction has become pressure. Pressure has become a plan the teen did not write. At 7:18 p.m., the teen's parent knocks and steps in. Dinner is ready. The teen says not hungry. The parent pauses and asks about practice. The teen says maybe tomorrow. The parent sits on the edge of the bed and picks up the list. The room is quiet for a long half minute. The parent suggests a walk. The teen shrugs and puts on a hoodie. They leave the phone on the dresser. The screen glows at the ceiling. At 8:10 p.m., Jefferson High School girl goes through her closet at home. She kneels on the carpet with a tape measure. She sorts skirts by length. She sorts tops by shoulder. She builds a safe pile for school and a weekend pile for everything else. The piles do not match her taste. She writes a note to herself to shop for longer hemlines. She checks the lost and found hoodie in the mirror. It is too large and smells like storage. She folds it anyway. It might be needed again. At 8:40 p.m., Arcadia Insurance Member Portal, home computer of a warehouse worker. A login screen opens. A banner welcomes him back. It shows his points this week. It shows his tier. It suggests he can raise his score by 5 if he completes a weigh-in at a partner clinic. The map lists one clinic across town. The bus route requires 2 transfers. The worker closes the tab. He opens his budget spreadsheet instead. The premium increase shows as a red number next month. He stares at the red and imagines a scale in a clinic on a weekday morning. At 9:30 p.m., Brightline creative designer lies awake. Her mind runs through the office map, the scale by the window, the board by the kitchen, the markers with the dry tips. She imagines drawing a new column that says rest. She imagines points for leaving on time, for eating when hungry, for ignoring the call to compare. The ideas feel bright in the dark. She does not know how to pitch them in the morning. At 10:05 p.m., the teen's phone buzzes on the dresser. A notification announces a new challenge from a favorite coach. 2 weeks to cut. The thumbnail shows a smiling face and a number. The teen returns from the walk and sees the alert. The teen stares at the screen without picking it up. The parent knocks again and asks about homework. The teen says working on it now. The phone goes face down. At 10:40 p.m., a simple map of the day exists on paper. Mirror. Ruler. Scale. Dashboard. Whiteboard. Feed. Each object is small. Each object carries rules. None of the rules are labeled as punishment. All of them shape behavior. The day draws a clean line through the institutions that turn appearance into policy. Gym. School. Employer. Insurer. Platform. Home. Near midnight, the teen writes a single sentence on the list. I want to feel normal when I eat. The sentence is not a plan. It is a pressure reading. It sits under the counts and tallies with its own kind of weight. Repetition audit. 1 line. The day shows that pressure arrives through common tools that look helpful and add rules that measure bodies before they measure care. Exit line. Tomorrow, the paper trail gets names and reasons, and the question becomes plain in documents and scripts that decide who pays and who is policed. Chapter 2. How the System Enforces. 7:55 a.m., Jefferson High School, counseling office. A recorder sits between 2 chairs. The counselor asks the student for permission to talk on background. The student nods. She has 3 citations this year. 2 for shoulder straps. 1 for skirt length. She describes the walk to the office as a signal to everyone in the hall. The rule is written as respect. The effect is attention on her body. She pulls a folded sheet from her backpack. It shows the dress code with line drawings. The drawings do not match the clothes that students actually wear. She says the code feels like a moving target. She says it depends on who is looking. 8:40 a.m., District Administration Policy Room. A spokesperson explains the rationale. The goal is order and focus. The measure is clear learning time. Citations are tracked as disruptions avoided. The spokesperson reads a sentence about equal application across gender. When pressed on the ruler checks, the spokesperson says measurement prevents bias. The files list an appeal process. The appeals rarely change outcomes. The records show most citations go to girls. The spokesperson says the numbers reflect compliance rates, not bias. That is a claim, not a proof. The district promises a review next term. 10:15 a.m., Brightline Creative, Glass Conference Room. 2 workers agree to describe the wellness challenge, with names withheld. One says he joined to avoid being seen as difficult. One says she skipped weigh-ins and now gets daily asks to participate. They both point at the whiteboard where team points go public. The rules say voluntary. The culture says mandatory. A calendar invite for a weigh-in pops up during the interview. The subject line reads quick check for team spirit. The invite is set to auto-accept. The workers decline and set the invite to private. Their hands shake a little. They say they will not complain to HR. They say they need their jobs. 11:30 a.m., vendor demo video call. A wellness platform sales rep shares slides. The title is Outcomes and Savings. The deck shows a chart where costs fall as body mass index moves under a line. The next slide shows a leaderboard. The rep says competition drives engagement. The rep says public displays increase motivation through social proof. When asked about harm, the rep cites a satisfaction score from last year. The study is not peer-reviewed. The sample size is small. The rep moves to the contract page. The logo carousel is large. The small print notes that outcomes depend on participation and personal responsibility. 12:20 p.m., Arcadia Insurance, primary care clinic panel. A clinician described as a lead for screening protocols sits with a stack of forms. She explains that weight is one data point. She says weight can be linked to risk. She says harm arrives when weight becomes the only lens. She sees patients who avoid care because they fear lectures. She sees blood work go uncollected because a person refused a scale. She points to a guideline that says do not delay care if weight is declined. She says the clinic tries to follow that line. She admits some staff still insist on the number. Habits are hard to change. She asks that her name not be printed. She wants the policy to speak louder than her voice. 1:40 p.m., platform policy interview, call with a trust and safety lead. The lead explains how feeds are shaped. Interest signals drive repetition. A few likes on gym videos can turn into a heavy flow of diet content. The system does not read intent. It reads time and taps. The lead says they downrank content with unsafe claims. They label some posts. They remove a few. The lead admits gray zones remain. Advice that sounds like wellness can carry body policing. The lead says tools exist for user controls. The controls require friction to find and use. The lead asks to speak off record about internal debates. The lead says they cannot share documents. 3:05 p.m., Arcadia Insurance, internal archive. A set of emails and a memo arrive from a source with verified access. Dates run from spring of last year to winter of this year. The memo header reads Program Risk Assessment. The body identifies two main risks. The first is discrimination claims tied to visible weigh-ins and tiered rewards. The second is reputational harm if weight targets are framed as health without evidence of benefit. The memo proposes language that shifts weight targets into a broader wellness narrative. The memo advises keeping incentives public to maintain participation, while avoiding any language that suggests penalties. A track change replaces penalty with differential. A side comment cites optics. The program did not change its underlying tiers. The memo frames the tiers as choice. The choice is between more savings or less savings. The savings depend on a number on a scale. 4 p.m., Human Resources Roundtable, Brightline Creative. The office manager joins a short call with HR for mid-season challenge updates. She mentions morale bumps. She mentions engagement. She does not mention the worker who erased her number. She does not mention the invite that was set to auto-accept. HR asks whether any employee raised a medical concern. The manager says none so far. The call ends with a slide that shows a smiling team. The slide lists talking points. The points stress fun, community, and energy. The points do not mention public weigh-ins. The notes say avoid numbers when media is present. 4:45 p.m., Jefferson High School, teacher focus group. Three teachers sit in a science lab and talk about discipline. They say dress checks take time from instruction. They say the rules land hardest on girls and gender nonconforming students. One teacher tried to propose a new code that focused on disruption rather than body parts. The proposal stalled. The committee asked for more data. The teacher shows a folder of referral slips. The slips list exposed shoulder, tight jeans, short skirt. The slips do not list phone use, hallway noise, or missed homework. The teacher says style is culture. The code pretends culture is neutral. 5:30 p.m., clinician follow-up, hallway outside exam rooms. The lead clinician adds one more point. She says weight-only targets can miss serious issues. She recalls a patient with normal weight and severe blood pressure. The chart did not flag high risk because the program looked at the scale first. The patient delayed care. The outcome was a scare that could have been avoided. She stresses this is one case. She stresses that anecdotes are not data. She asks for more comprehensive measures. She wants the system to see the whole person. 6:20 p.m., platform content review, test account. A controlled scroll runs for 20 minutes. The test account liked 5 fitness clips and 1 nutrition post last night. The feed now offers a steady tape of diet advice. Some posts include small warnings. Some do not. One video promises a face change in 2 weeks. One challenges viewers to cut a food group for 1 month. The comments cluster around praise and confession. The algorithm is doing what it was built to do. It is repeating interest. It is not measuring mental load. It is not tracking shame. 7:10 p.m., Arcadia Insurance, finance projection sheet. A spreadsheet models quarter 3. The savings depend on tier shifts. Tier shifts depend on weigh-in rates. Weigh-in rates depend on participation nudges. A cell titled public engagement is weighted as a lever. The note says leaderboards and team challenges increase movement between tiers. A second note says legal review pending. The highlight color is green. The number looks small in the context of total spend. The policy weight is large in the context of daily life. 8:05 p.m., Union Hall near the river. Workers from several offices meet to talk about wellness challenges. A steward reads employer policy language. Participation is voluntary. There will be no retaliation. A worker raises a hand and describes lost shifts after declining weigh-ins for personal reasons. The steward writes the claim down. The group decides to collect examples across companies. They agree to request private weigh spaces, opt-out buttons, and non-weight metrics like sleep and stress. They prepare a letter. They prepare to file if retaliation can be documented. They know the standard of proof is high. 9 p.m., student group chat, encrypted app. Students trade dress code stories. They list teachers who enforce and those who ignore. They plan a meeting with the principal. They draft points that center learning time and comfort. They agree to avoid insults. They agree to bring numbers. They agree to propose a code that bans hate symbols and violence, not shoulders and knees. They know the board wants data. They will bring data. 10:10 p.m., reporter's desk, notes summary. The board says the code protects learning. The numbers show girls receive most citations. The employer says wellness builds community. The evidence shows public weigh-ins create social pressure at work. The insurer says incentives drive savings. The memo shows optics and liability as the core drivers. The platform says safety tools exist. The feed shows friction and repetition. The through line is clear. Health is used as language. Control is used as practice. Repetition audit, one line. Interviews, demos, emails, and feeds show that voluntary language masks systems that measure bodies first and people second. Exit line. At first light tomorrow, policy rooms and hearing rooms open, and the paper claims meet law, budgets, and families asking for proof of care over control. Chapter 3. Opting out, changing course. 8 a.m., City Hall hearing room. A committee meets to review a student dress code. Rows fill with parents, students, and teachers. The board chair reads the agenda. The policy on the table measures hems, shoulders, and fabric fit. A student steps to the microphone and speaks for 2 minutes. She says the rule steals learning time. She says it places eyes on bodies, not books. A teacher follows with a stack of referral slips. He reads the categories aloud. Exposed shoulder, tight jeans, short skirt. He points to the empty lines for disruption and missed work. A parent asks for a code that bans harassment and hate symbols, not knees. The chair thanks the speakers and calls a short recess. 9:05 a.m., same room. The district lawyer offers options. They can shift to a disruption standard that targets behavior. They can remove body part language and keep focus on safety. They can create a clear appeal process with deadlines and a record of outcomes. The chair asks about bias. The lawyer suggests auditing referrals by grade, gender, and teacher. A member proposes a pilot for the fall. The vote sets a date. The old code stays for now. The record shows a path to change and a schedule for review. 10:30 a.m., Brightline Creative, all hands. The office manager opens with a short message. She thanks teams for energy and says feedback was heard. She lists 3 changes. No public weigh-ins. Private health stays private. Points move from weight to habits that do not require a scale. Sleep, breaks, water, and steps during work hours count. Anyone can opt out with no penalty. A question appears in the chat about proof. She answers that a photo of a smartwatch is not needed. Trust first. Spot checks for fairness later. A hand goes up in the back. The worker who erased her number asks if the leaderboard will return. The manager shakes her head. The board will track team walks and lunch breaks off screen. The room relaxes. The scale by the window is gone. 11:20 a.m., Arcadia Insurance, compliance floor. A small task force meets at a round table. Compliance, legal, data science. A memo from last night lies on top of a folder. It lists liability concerns and reputational risk linked to tiered rewards tied to body mass index alone. The compliance lead proposes a shift to a broader risk model that uses blood pressure, activity, sleep, and smoking status, with opt-out options and private reporting. The data scientist says the model can score risk without public displays. The legal counsel warns that language must not punish people who do not share numbers. A pilot plan takes shape for quarter four. The tier names will change. The targets will move. The weigh-in clinics will be optional with no link to premiums. The team drafts copy that removes the word penalty. The spreadsheet will still test savings. The policy will change the path to get there. 12:45 p.m., pediatric clinic, small group room. A clinician and a school social worker host a lunch session for parents. The handout at the door explains weight-neutral care. It defines terms once for the ear. Body mass index is a rough screen, not a diagnosis. Focus on function and health behaviors. Do not delay care if someone declines a scale. Check blood pressure, sleep, and mood. Offer referrals for eating concerns early. The social worker models language. At home, praise effort and strength, not shape. At school, ask for policies that protect learning time, not body policing. A parent asks what to do when a teen wants to follow an online challenge. The clinician suggests a pause rule. Wait one day. Talk about the claim and the source. Ask what the challenge might cost in time and stress. The room takes notes. The mood lifts when the social worker shares local support groups. The flyer lists a phone number and hours. 2:10 p.m., platform policy room, internal sync. A trust and safety lead walks through a small change. The team will add friction to extreme body claims that ride the line of policy. A new label will ask users if they want to see less of this topic. The setting will be one tap. The feed will show more neutral fitness and less weight cut talk after that tap. The change is small. The change is real. It requires no search menu. The engineer asks about false positives. The lead says appeals will be fast. The pilot will run in two cities. The decision log notes that mental load is a factor. The log does not assign a number to it yet. 3 p.m., City Hall, board reconvenes. The chair reads a draft. It removes skirt inches and shoulder bands. It adds a standard that bans clothing that promotes hate, depicts violence, or reveals undergarments in classrooms. It states that enforcement must not measure bodies. It requires same-day appeals to a dean. The board votes to send the draft to public comment. The student in the front row writes the date in her notebook. The teacher circles the line about audits. The parent texts the group chat. Progress, not finish. 4:05 p.m., Brightline Creative Kitchen. The whiteboard now lists a different challenge. Leave on time 3 days this week. Take a 10-minute screen break each morning and afternoon. Drink water before coffee. Eat when hungry. Skip weigh-ins. A marker doodle shows a walking path near the office. A teammate suggests group walks on Tuesdays and Thursdays. A small speaker plays a comm track. The room feels more like a break room and less like a scoreboard. 5:15 p.m., Arcadia Insurance, customer email draft. The copy for the pilot reads like this. Your health program is changing this fall. You can participate without sharing weight. You can earn rewards by completing checkups and logging activity that does not require a scale. You can opt out at any time. Your premium will not change based on a number on a scale. A lawyer tightens the last line. The data scientist adds a note that risk models will be reviewed for fairness each quarter. The team schedules a plain language test with customers next week. 6:30 p.m., Jefferson High School Library. Students host a meeting with the principal. They present a simple chart. Dress citations by month, by class, by gender, by race were recorded. The principal reads the numbers and looks tired. He says the old code was supposed to be easy to enforce. It was not. He agrees to test the new draft with a small group before the term starts. He asks the students to help write a guide for teachers. The guide will say how to speak to a student about clothing without shame. The students nod. They ask for a commitment to remove rulers from hall duty. The principal says yes. 7:40 p.m., Union Hall follow-up. Workers from several offices share a template letter. It asks employers to end public weigh-ins, to stop tracking weight, to add opt-out buttons with no penalty, and to allow private rooms for any health checks. It suggests alternative metrics: sleep hours, breaks taken, and step counts during paid time. It requests that wellness programs be reviewed by a health professional with training in eating disorders. The steward adds a line about free counseling if a program caused distress. The group plans to deliver the letters on the same day next month. 8:25 p.m., Midtown Gym, off-peak hour. The teenager from Chapter 1 stands at a cable machine and looks around. Fewer phones are out tonight. The teen keeps a list in a small notebook. It is not a calorie tally. It is a mood check. The list asks, did I eat until I felt okay? Did I drink water? Did I stop when I felt dizzy? Did I enjoy one thing that had nothing to do with food? The teen pulls the cable and counts 5 smooth reps. The coach walks by and nods. No comments on shape, only form and breath. The teen writes good in the margin. 9:10 p.m., home kitchen table. The student who wore the denim skirt lays the new draft code next to her homework. Her mother sits down with a ruler and a pen, then sets both aside. They talk about the meeting. They agree to donate a stack of longer skirts to the school closet for anyone who wants them. They agree to push for a rule that bans humiliation. They agree to track missed class time due to dress checks. The paper pile shifts from fear of rules to tools for change. 10 p.m., reporter's desk, verified and unknown. Known: dress codes that measure bodies pull learning time and fall unequally. Workplace challenges that center weight create social pressure and risk. Insurance tiers tied to a single number invite liability and harm. Algorithms repeat interest without reading intent. Unknown: the long-term effect of small policy fixes at scale. Unknown: how fast culture moves when rules change. Unknown: which mix of measures best predicts health without shaming anyone. The list splits the page. The right side invites follow-up. 10:40 p.m., practical playbook, 1 page for action. For schools, write a code that targets behavior and symbols of hate, not bodies. Remove rulers from enforcement. Track referrals by category and share the data. Add a fast appeal path. For workplaces, end public weigh-ins and remove weight from rewards. Offer points for sleep, breaks, and participation in movement that has no scale. Make opt-outs clear and real. Provide private rooms for any check. For insurers, stop linking premiums to weight targets. Expand models to include blood pressure, activity, sleep, and smoking status with opt-out options. Test for bias every quarter. Use plain language in all messages. For families, praise strength, effort, and comfort. Model neutral food talk. Set a pause rule before any challenge from a feed. Keep a list of support contacts on the fridge. For platforms, add one-tap tools to reduce diet content and label soft claims so users can choose. Measure mental load by session and by topic. Publish the results in a way people can read. 11:25 p.m., closing scenes. The office whiteboard now shows a calendar of team walks. The gym teen eats a steady dinner and leaves the phone in another room for the night. The student folds the lost and found hoodie and places it by the door to return. The insurer drafts a pilot that pulls weight out of the premium path. The platform ships a small change that reduces a flood to a stream. Each move is modest. Each move is real. Repetition audit, one line. Across boardrooms, offices, clinics, and feeds, the shift is from measuring bodies first to measuring care and function. Exit line. The mirror still reflects a face at dawn, but the rulebook can change. And when it does, the question turns from who is policed to how we protect dignity while building a culture of health that people can live with.